Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2199 with a release date of Friday, December 20th, 2019. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST, a historic designation for hams in California. A ham who transformed retail transactions becomes a silent key. And do you hear what we hear? It's time for a Christmas classic from the shack. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2199, comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Bloomington, Indiana, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Although hams in the United States are most familiar with technician class, general class, and extra class, one group of California amateurs is about to be granted historic class. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, has that story.
American Legion Post 519 in Palm Springs, California, will start the new year with a gift from the city. The building is being recognized by Palm Springs officials as a Class 1 historical site. The designation follows work by K6TAL, the Post's amateur radio club, which restored vintage equipment on an old soundstage housed inside the premises. The voices of such post-war luminaries as David Niven, Bing Crosby, James Cagney, and Bob Hope were once heard there, but now it's the QTH where hams are heard regularly calling QRZ. The club is also heavily involved in disaster preparedness and emergency communication. The City Council's Historic Preservation Board typically identifies historic properties as candidates for designation in order to ensure that they are preserved. More than 100 buildings around the city have Class 1 designation, including Palm Springs' own City Hall and the former homes of actor Cary Grant and singer Frank Sinatra. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
An amateur who led the way to creating the UPC codes so familiar to shoppers has become a silent key. With that story, we have Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
The amateur radio operator who became the lead developer of what was to become the universal product code barcode system used in retail stores has become a silent key. George Lauer, K4HZE of Wendell, North Carolina, spearheaded the coding project as an electrical engineer at IBM in North Carolina during the 1970s. The native New Yorker later patented one of the first handheld UPC scanners, according to his obituary in a number of national media outlets. A Washington Post report noted that barcoding itself dates to the 1940s, with designer N. Joseph Woodland being inspired by Morse code's system of dots and dashes. The two men later worked together at IBM. According to a National Public Radio report, Lauer held more than 24 patents, but the UPC system wasn't among them. IBM never patented it either, and according to NPR, used it instead to help sell scanning equipment. George Lauer died on December 5th at age 94. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
Hams in Morocco are heading to the mountains with a message. Ed Durant, DD5LP, tells us more.
14 operators are heading to the Imlil Valley, 64 kilometers from Marrakesh in Morocco, for their annual activation acknowledging International Mountain Day. This year's activation will be from the 20th to the 22nd of December. The group, which has a number of young operators, is focusing on mountain safety and climate change, two themes central to the UN's International Mountain Day, which took place on December the 11th this year. The team will be calling QRZ as CN19JIM using SSB, CW and FT8 modes. The suffix of the call sign translates from the French words meaning International Mountain Day, La Journée Internationale de la Montagne. According to one of the team members, Ferti Rashid, CN8RAH, the event is taking place under the auspices of the Royal Association of Radio Amateurs of Morocco, bringing together hams from cities throughout the kingdom. For Amateur Radio Newsline, Ahmed Durant, DD5LP.
A group of Israeli high school students is feeling quite proud right now. Their satellite is up above the earth. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, has that story.
An experimental satellite built by a trio of Israeli high school students is among nine satellites put into orbit on December 11th by India's PSLV-C48 rocket. The satellite has an amateur radio FM transponder with a 2-meter uplink and a downlink on 70 centimeters, an APRS digipeater, and a camera to be used for Earth imaging. The small satellite is piggybacked on the rocket's primary payload, which is a radar-based imaging satellite for the military. According to firstpost.com, the students designed the satellite and were present for the launch along with their teacher. The Twitter feed for Israel in India, which promotes relations between the two countries, calls it a proud moment. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, said L2BHF.
For students in Missouri here in the U.S., the lesson plan for the day was a little loftier. On December 12th, students at Woodridge Middle School in High Ridge, Missouri, contacted the International Space Station. With teacher Thomas Laybourne, KE0SGU, and the help of Brian, K0KBA in St. Louis, a number of the students got to chat with NA1SS and astronaut Luca Parmitano, KF5KDP. They asked how weightlessness affects the body, what happens to tears in space, and how water is recycled up there. They also found out how an astronaut's long-distance view of Earth also gives a long-range perspective. Here's what Luca told them.
Overall, nowadays, when I look at Earth, I just feel how fragile it is, and I really want to leave it in good shape for your generation.
Congrats to the kids on a successful ARIS contact. You can see a video of the students during the CUSOs on the Woodridge Middle School's Facebook page. The International Space Station has become an even busier place this time of year. There's talk of a worldwide commemorative SSTV operation on either the 27th or 28th of December. Interested amateurs are urged to follow @ARIS_status on Twitter and to watch the AMSAT bulletin board for status updates. The SSTV downlink frequency is 145.800 MHz. Hams on board include Dr. Andrew Morgan, KI5AAA, cosmonaut Alexander Svortskov, RK6ATR, and Luca Parmitano, KF5KDP, whose contact you heard moments ago with the school kids in Missouri. A leading player in Serbian amateur radio has been delivering some tutorials to hams in India. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, has been following that story.
The secretary of the Amateur Radio Union of Vojvodina in Serbia was the featured guest at a recent two-day workshop on amateur radio held by the National Institute of Amateur Radio in Hyderabad, India. Miroslav Skorik, YT7MPB, has been visiting India's educational institutions and attending conferences to conduct ham radio workshops. At the seminar December 12 and 13 at the Vardaman College of Engineering in Hyderabad, he shared insights into packet radio communication, his preferred mode of operation. Ron Moyhan, VU2MYH, director of the NIAR, said Miroslav has made repeated visits to India, delivering presentations, most especially to young people. His December visit included an earlier presentation to more than 200 electronics and computer science undergraduates at Gimrid Rajam in Andhra Pradesh. In Hyderabad, more than 100 undergraduates at Vardaman College heard from him and Jayath Bide, VU2JAU, who discussed emergency communications. Both colleges have faculty members and students who are licensed hams. Miroslav was also present later at the IEEE ANTS 2019 conference at the prestigious Birla Institute of Technology and Science in Goa. With his frequent trips to India, Ram told Newsline that Miroslav now has a VU3 amateur radio license pending issuance there. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K7 MMA repeater in Spokane, Washington, on Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Swedish agencies have taken on an RF pollution study, and the focus is on solar panels. Here's Jeremy Boot, G4 in JH.
Sweden's National Radio Society, the SSA, reports that studies of solar panel installations have begun to determine whether they are a source of RF pollution. Both the Swedish Electrical Safety Agency and the Swedish Energy Agency are looking at the installation's optimizers and inverters in particular. The inverters are used to convert the direct current of the solar panel to alternating current. Amateur radio operators are not the only ones who suffer from this kind of RF interference. Weather stations, remote control car alarms, wireless speakers, home alarms, and garage door openers can also be affected. The Swedish agency's scrutiny is expected to continue until March 2020. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The Federal Communications Commission is seeking comment on its plan to remove amateur radio operators from the 3.3 gigahertz to 3.55 gigahertz band and looking for what it calls transitional mechanisms for its implementation. The agency formally adopted the proposed change at its meeting on the 12th of December. FCC officials wrote that the move comes as a way of making new spectrum available for use by mobile and fixed wireless broadband. The notice was released on December 16th and can be viewed at docs, that's D-O-C-S, .fcc.gov. Now here's a Christmas story that comes to us from Tampa, Florida, home to St. Joseph's Children's Hospital. Florida is, of course, more than a few degrees warmer than the North Pole, but this story is heartwarming for other reasons, as we learn from Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
Members of the Bay Area Emergency Amateur Radio Service, or BEARS, are accustomed to responding to emergencies. So at holiday time, if there are any youngsters stuck in the hospital instead of being home waiting for Santa, well, yes, that qualifies as an emergency. Like ingenious elves at the North Pole, the Bay Area Hams responded on December 11th in the same way they've done in previous years, with the magic of radio linking young patients to the man with all the toys. Hospital officials told a local TV station that the idea started about 10 years ago. With this scenario, youngsters denied a visit to Santa at the mall or the hope of glimpsing him at home late on Christmas Eve might still be able to put a QSO on their Christmas list. The Bay Area Emergency Hams have a station at the hospital that uses the call sign W4TCH, so the rest was easy. Team members from the hospital's Child Life Department brought the radios to each child's bedside, and the next voice the children heard was, well, a really big DX from the North Pole that any ham radio operator would envy. Even if the kids eventually stop believing in Santa, there's a sure bet they'll still believe in radio. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
Speaking of Santa, are you ready to start listening for him on the air? Christmas Eve is coming up fast, and the Do Drop In is ready on Echolink. With this special report, we have, well, Santa himself.
Ho, 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 boys and girls, can you believe how fast the time flies? It's my favorite time of the year again. That's right, time for the Santa Watch Net. Old Santa's gonna be making his rounds. Who you calling old, little buddy? Sorry. He'll be making his rounds again for the 9th year in a row, and the gang at the Dew Drop In will be watching the radar. Join the Santa Watch Net starting at 1800 hours Eastern Time.
Oh, I'll put you back on the nice list. And my little elf Dave in 3NTV, he's still such a cute little fellow. He's going to be calling the net and keeping track of old Santa's location. QTH.
And just like last year, Santa has a radio in his sleigh and he'll chat with the kids again.
Oh, I love that part. Bring all the little ones. Get them checked in because, you know, third party traffic always on the nice list.
Once again, it's the Santa Watch Net. Christmas Eve, 1800 hours Eastern on the Do Drop In Echolink conference server. Node number 355-800.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas from me, old Saint Nick, and all my little elves at the Do Drop In. Ho, 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 ho.
In the world of DX, Sebastian SQ1SGB is on the air occasionally from Antarctica as VP8HAL from the Halley 6th British Antarctic Research Station. Listen for him on 7170 kHz and 14305 kHz each day at 0100 UTC for 1 hour. He will be in Antarctica until the 8th of February. Send QSLs to EB7DX. In Austria, members of the Amateur Radio Contest DX Club are calling QRZ as 4U1XMAS during the Christmas season from the 4U1A station at the United Nations Vienna International Center. They will be on the air until December 31st. QSL via UA3DX, direct or by the Bureau. Ole, whose call signs are KD7WPJ and UR5BCP, will be active as CE0Y/UR5BCP from Easter Island between the 26th and 31st of December. Listen on 60 through 6 meters, where Ole will be using CW sideband and FT8 or FT4 mode with 100 watts. Send QSLs to KD7WPJ direct or by the Bureau. Digital mode contacts will be uploaded to Logbook of the World. Antonio EA5RM is in Ecuador until the 5th of January. He is on the air during his spare time mainly as HC3ACT. You may also hear him as HC2/EA5RM from Guayaquil. Listen on 40 through 10 meters using single sideband and the digital modes QSL to his home call sign. We end this newscast with a Newsline holiday tradition, a ham log instead of a Yule log. We again offer this much-loved adaptation of the Clement Clark Moore classic as read by Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the shack the rig was turned off and the mic cord lay slack. The antenna rotor had made its last turn. The tubes in the linear had long ceased to burn. I sat there relaxing and took off my specs, preparing to daydream of Armchair DX. When suddenly, outside, I heard such a sound, I dashed out the door to see what was around. The moon shone down brightly and lighted the night. For sure, propagation for the low bands was right. I peered toward the roof where I heard all the racket, and there was some guy in a red fur-trimmed jacket. I stood there, perplexed, in a manner quite giddy. Just who was this stranger? Did it, da-da, did it? He looked very much like an FCC guy who'd come to check up on some bad TVI. I shouted to him, "Oh man, QRZ! Hey, you by the chimney all dressed up in red!" I suddenly knew when I heard sleigh bells jingle, the guy on the rooftop was Jolly Kris Kringle. He had a big sack full of amateur gear, which was a big load for his prancing reindeer, transmitters, receivers for cabinets and racks, some meters and scopes, and a lot of coax. He said not a word, 'cause he'd finished his work. He picked up his sack and he turned with a jerk. As he leaped to his sleigh, he shouted with glee, and I knew in a moment he'd be QRT. I heard him transmit as he flew o'er the trees, "Merry Christmas to all, and to all 73! Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
With thanks to Alara, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, Eris, the Desert Sun Newspaper, Facebook, Ferdy Rashid, CN8RAH, National Institute of Amateur Radio, the FCC, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ.com forums, Radio Society of Great Britain, St. Joseph's Hospital website, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, WTSP-TV, WTWW Shortwave, and your listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana, saying 7-3, Merry Christmas, and as always, We thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2019. All rights reserved.